Today's gospel is a little hard to hear. Most Christians only want to think the best about the people that God the Father has placed in their lives. Most Christians want to think of their homes as places of refuge and peace. Most Christians want to think of their families as a source of strength and comfort, especially in tough and uncertain times. Why should anyone be allowed to drive a wedge between my loved ones and me? Human or divine, who would dare to disrupt one's family? What kind of God would come to earth with the express purpose to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law? Jesus is that God. Your Jesus, the one that you love and the one to whom you pray, he is that God. Jesus doesn't want you to think that he came only to bring peace on earth. In fact, he says today, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Well, so much for the little Lord Jesus asleep in the hay. King Herod knew that when baby Jesus grew up, that man Jesus would be a problem. The problem that Jesus' birth created for King Herod is essentially the same problem that Jesus creates for you in today's gospel. The only difference is where the throne is. Herod didn't want Jesus on the throne of Jerusalem, king over Israel. As for you, do you really want Jesus to be Lord and God and King for you? Part of every Christian does. The baptized and sanctified and fully cleansed part of every Christian wants nothing more than for Jesus to be Lord and King. You say that you love Jesus, and I believe it, because I love him too. You say that you want to have no other God but Jesus, and I know you speak the truth, because you gather together to hear God's miraculous word and to receive his glorious sacrament. Through that word, the word preached and the word given in the Holy Supper, God the Holy Spirit lives within you. God the Spirit has given you his miraculous gift of faith in this Jesus whose death has cleansed you of all your sin. Without doubt, part of each Christian loves Jesus and wants him to be his Lord and his God and his King. And that's the part of you that St. Paul calls a new creation. It's what the Small Catechism describes as the new man who arises out of holy baptism to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That new creation isn't the only part of you, though. Do you really want Jesus to be Lord and God and King for you? Part of you most certainly doesn't. And that part is the old evil flesh, the body of sin, as St. Paul says, that is still living and working within each of you. I don't want Jesus to be my God. I actively search for idols to worship and adore instead. I know better than God. And you do too. Jesus knows that you do this. Jesus also knows that there is no better place for you to pick another king and another God than from among those people in your lives that you love the most. Knowing who you are, knowing your natural tendencies and your desires, Jesus says today, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household." Now, even though these words sound terrible, Jesus speaks to you with only the deepest of love. With these words, Jesus lovingly cuts away from you the objects of your idolatry, your very family. Jesus doesn't want you to have any illusions about what will be the most important to you when you have Jesus as your God. He isn't even asking you to choose between him and your loved ones. Christ Jesus is making that choice for you, because he knows that neither you nor I have the ability to choose. Maybe one of your idols is here with you today. Think of the shoulders that you laid your head on as a child, or the hands that work endlessly even today to take care of you, or that tiny little face staring up at you, swaddled in a blanket. Remember the happiest moments of your life, along with the people who created those moments with you and for you. Think about how secure and how safe and how comforted those connections made you feel. "I've not come to bring peace," our Lord says, "but a sword." That person that you're thinking of, is that person going to save you? Can your father defy death for himself, much less for you? Jesus can, and Jesus has. And it's because of Christ Jesus' death and resurrection that you will rise from the dead, fully forgiven of every sin. Are your loved ones your greatest comfort? Then why do they go away? How dare they die and leave you here alone? Jesus does not and will not leave you alone. Jesus ascended to heaven so that he may fill all things, so that there is no place you can ever go where your Lord Jesus is not with you. Has anyone in your family ever treated you selfishly? Has anyone in your family ever taken care of himself first, rather than keeping you first and foremost in all things at all times? Christ Jesus has not done that, and he will never do that. Everything your Lord Christ does, from dying to rising to saying even these harsh sounding words to you, everything Jesus does is for you. Your Lord Christ cannot be selfish. He's only able to be wholly devoted to you. "For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household." With these words, Jesus keeps your perspective clear. Love your family. Hold them and care for them and pour your life into them. You have no greater vocation in this life than to devote yourself to those whom God has lovingly placed in your lives. Jesus simply warns you today not to allow your loved ones to become your idols. Because with one and only one exception, every human relationship will end. Death will see to that. One and only one connection remains eternal. Christ Jesus has made you his brother in your baptism. God the Father has adopted you to be his child forever. God the Holy Spirit has created for you an everlasting family which extends far beyond the walls of your house and is as numerous as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. This is your eternal family, and you will live with this family forever. Amen.